When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lunit Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Dane Reese. Dane has been a professional entertainer for over 16 years, singing, dancing, and acting all around the world. He has performed in 9 shows on the Vegas Strip, performed in Australia, Italy, Germany, Canada, New York City, and he sang as a featured soloist with renowned symphony orchestras. He's been on TV, radio, and he is an award-winning mascot, corporate producer, and an actor's equity performer and stage manager. He is also the creator and host of the podcast, You Booked It, where he interviews successful entertainers 7 days a week who share their journeys through the industry to discover the fundamentals and niche golden nuggets that create a successful entertainment career and fill the gap between training and the real world. Dane, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me today.
It is my pleasure. I'm looking forward to hearing about your career journey. But before we get going, tell us a little background. Tell us about your big journey thus far here.
Yeah, for sure. My journey through, I guess, life and the entertainment industry specifically is a bit atypical. Most people that are professional entertainers tend to have started entertaining or started singing, acting, dancing, or whatever that skill or it is that you do, you know, pretty early in life, right? You start at 3 years old or something. I've got a daughter, she's 4, and my wife and I have had her in dance class since she was basically 2 years old, as early as we could get her in. That was not my story. I played sports and was your typical jock kind of person. I'm kind of like your, like a real life Glee / High School Musical story, really. And I got injured out of football. I would have needed elbow surgery if I would have kept playing baseball, concussed out of football. And then all that happened in this span of about 4 months' time. And I went from being super active, having loads of stuff to do all the time, my entire childhood. And then I had nothing going on, nothing to do. All I had was homework when that was easy. And I was bored. And then I had my sister's friend came over one day and she goes, "Hey, we need a guy to help lift some girls in this dance show we've got coming up. You want to do it?" And to make a long story short, really that got involved with dancing. I started conservatively with the hip hop and break dancing and then realized that I actually wanted to technically train, and that snowballed into singing, and it turns out I could sing, and that snowballed into acting, and it turns out I could do that, and that turned into I was able to get a full ride scholarship to the University of Montana, being the mascot, and won some awards there. And then the ball just kept on rolling. I went out to the East Coast and went to a school called the Boston Conservatory for musical theater, did that, moved to New York, and then began performing for professionally all around the world, just saying yes to whatever comes up. I met my wife performing. She's a dancer, and that's it. That's a nutshell of nutshells, but there you go.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic. You just kind of followed your heart and you just said yes, it sounds like, from the beginning. And then it started falling into place, like with this, everything just, you know, singing, acting, it just came natural for you and you didn't even know that.
Yeah, 100%. And on saying yes, that's, I think, has been my superpower, which isn't really a superpower at all. But I've had a very diverse career. When you're reading my bio, for instance, I've been in a lot of different aspects of the entertainment industry, very high levels, only because I said yes. I've never pigeonholed myself into being like, oh, I'm only going to do Broadway. I only want to do stage things and really only focus on those opportunities. Some people want that out of their careers. What I realized in my career, and it's something that I coach on, I teach on, and I try to express to as many people as possible, is what you really need to do when you get into, I think, not just this career or an entertainment career, but any career, is to ask yourself, what is it that I truly want out of my fill-in-the-blank career? Mm-hmm. Because doing so and getting clarity on that is really what gives you direction. I know plenty of people where they're in the entertainment world, for instance, their goal is and has always been to do film or to be a model or to do voiceover work or to be on Broadway. And that's all they do. That's mm-hmm. everything. But what I found out early on in my career is, even though I had lots of training programs and a lot of my training was in kind of that Broadway or bust mentality, it was simply to entertain and to be paid as an entertainer, whatever that meant. I'll sign a contract and fly off to whatever far off land to do that. That's what I wanted. And that really has been the through line to my entire career, is that I keep saying yes and new fun opportunities show up. So I'm always working on something that's fulfilling and exciting.
Yeah. And it's also giving you a lot of experience in different locations, right? Vegas, New York. I mean, you were in Boston for a while. I'm from Boston, so it's nice to hear that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it gives you a lot of expertise. You learn a lot, right? Because then you're transferring your knowledge from the dancing world to the acting. It still is entertaining, but different genres, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much crossover with skill sets, for sure. For instance, you said corporate production. That's a whole other beast entirely. That side of the table is, think of it as, okay, stage management and the tech side of conventions and conferences. For instance, a lot of people have been to conferences, or you know that they're around if you're, say, in Vegas. And you know, someone has to make those things happen, right?
Yeah.
Rooms don't just get built. People don't just get to perform and everything doesn't just work. Someone has to do that back end of things. And that's the corporate production side of things. And all of those skill sets, while yes, it's for Fortune 500 companies and instead of having a singer and dancer as being the star, it's a C-suite executive. It's the same skill sets very much apply to that world. And there's so much crossover, and they're nuanced in their own fun ways. And it's fun to be part of all of that.
Yeah. And you have now starting to help others in the industry, right? To provide some guidance for those who are coming up in the industry. Because it has changed dramatically, I can imagine, from when you started.
Yeah. When I entered the industry, the iPhone had just come out, more or less, right? So just the idea of instant access to information and mm-hmm. having to be instantly accessible, it was really just kind of coming to a head right then. So compare that to now, it's crazy. You lose and book gigs based on how quickly you can reply to an email or a message, right? Or they simply move on. Social media has changed the entire scape, because in a lot of ways now, as an entertainer, you are your own PR team, your own marketing team. You are in charge of that. The days of getting an agent or a manager and just having them send you on auditions and you having a career and booking stuff from that, is that's a thing of the past. That's not what happens anymore.
Right.
It's a whole package. And with that comes a lot of different challenges. The competition is more fierce than it's ever been in the history of this career and in the industry. So it's tough out there, right? And there's a lot of questions that just don't get answered in any training programs. And that is really what inspired me to create the podcast, You Booked It, and to create coaching and training programs and other platforms out of that, that help inspire others to get that information that they need to make the most out of their careers.
Yeah. And that brings on the branding piece of it, right? Because you said we're their own PR with social media. It is liberating. It does make it easier, but I'm sure it comes with its own challenge. So go ahead and give us some tips on how an entertainer can brand themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you want to try to keep things as professional as possible. And the problem is that there are so many avenues that you can go down, right? You can really go down the YouTube rabbit hole. You can go down Instagram. You can go down TikTok now, which has absolutely exploded in the past not even year, right? And they're all valuable in their own ways. But I think when you have to really do is at first is to try not to spread yourself too thin. Find a platform, concentrate on that, and move forward there, because it's just one piece of the puzzle. It can be a full-time job just doing social media posting, and that is exhausting. And your ROI, for lack of better words or phrases, it can be very low for all of the effort that it takes to do all of that kind of promotion and self-promotion. So it's got to be a combination of, yes, you need to have this online presence. Yes, you need to have a show reel, something that people can see that you can feature yourself in submissions for, so you don't have to physically be at every single thing. Yes, you need a really fancy, or not fancy, you have to have a good looking email signature. Present yourself as a professional in this industry. So every time you connect with someone, you are a professional. It's clear that you are a professional and not just someone that kind of does this as a hobby, right? Have good photos and have a variety of different things and have a website. And it, the thing is, it's a lot of stuff to put together. And then we haven't even gotten into your skill set and actually doing the thing that you do, right?
Right, yeah.
And then that brings on a whole nother beast of challenges, from mindset training and mental health, because it's hard being a professional entertainer when you go into rooms and you audition and you are expected to everything, give yourself fully, emotionally, be vulnerable. And then they go, nope, thanks, next.
Yeah.
And then you got to move, you know, and to do that again and again and again and not let that break you down. How do you continue to do that? And again, that's really why I created the podcast, so it could help people understand and learn about the journeys and the stories of different people in this industry, from all different aspects of the industry, not just Broadway, not just LA and film, not just modeling, not just the tech side of things, but find your people, really. Find who do you resonate with? How have they navigated their career, right? Because our careers also are very fluid in the entertainment industry. We might start dancing and then 5 years later, well, maybe our body broke down. Maybe we hurt our legs or broke something, and now we aren't able to perform at that level. How do we transition through our careers successfully? And it's all of those things combined and creating a resource for people to learn how other peoples have done it before them.
Mm-hmm. And then the mindset you mentioned is a big piece of it, because, yeah, how do you take on being rejected, you know, over and over again on something that you take so hard to build and create on a daily basis? So tell us a little bit how the mindset kicks in, can actually help the individual persevere, can actually help the persevere to make it to the next audition unscathed mentally.
Yeah, it's one of those, the easier said than done kind of story, right? Yep. But it really comes down to practice. And it's a really wonderful thing that I think the past handful of years, the openness that we have with talking and about mindset and mental health and having these conversations and people saying, yeah, this is a serious part of the puzzle, not just for the entertainment industry. It's for everybody. But I think in the entertainment industry, things are a bit more heightened in a lot of ways, because we're not just dealing with ourselves, but we are actually trying to become and portray other characters, which is its own kind of crazy emotional beast, right? So it's a bit crazier on the entertainment side than the normal situation, but we have to have these conversations and talk about it. And the tough part is that there's no cookie cutter solution, right?
Yeah.
No one has, there's loads of books, there's loads of methodologies and things you can do and try. And at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. You have to do them and you have to try them and figure out what works for you. There's a million ways, like your podcast, there's a million ways to create a morning routine. There's a million ways to help reduce stress and anxiety, but ultimately you have to create your own program, your own thing that does it for you, that allows you to reset and to know that it's okay to try things and to be like, you know what, that meditation thing, it really doesn't work for me. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you've tried and tried, maybe that's just not your thing, even though it works for so many people. And to not beat yourself up about it, but to just take things as they come, I think is a big part of the puzzle. And staying in, finding ways to keep control of the things you can control and really submitting and letting go to the factors that really, truly are totally control. And in the performance world, the auditioning world, so much of our careers is so far out of our control, it's kind of ridiculous. So really focusing on the elements that you can control and being confident in those decisions and owning them, and then all the rest, you just have to let it slide off your back as best as possible.
Mm-hmm. That is sound advice. That's not just for entertainment. That's like life, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
The ability to adjust to life and not take yourself too seriously, or take things too seriously, be able to let it roll off your shoulders. But also, just like that you said, focus on what you're good at. I know we spend a lot of time on our flaws and criticizing ourselves. Like that voice inside our head is so loud, right? Mm. And we don't focus on what is it that we're good at and actually just hone in and perfecting that. And just, that's like going back to that niching piece, right? That you talk about how to niche yourself, how to get thee to connect with an audience that it resonates because they can relate to you because they trust you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And really concentrating and focusing on your strengths is so much of it, right? It's impossible to think, and it's unfair to yourself to think that you can do everything perfectly well. You know, that's why building relationships in any industry, but specifically the entertainment industry, is huge. Through the podcast, it has been, in my podcast, I ask the same set of questions to every single person that comes onto the show. The idea behind that and the purpose behind that is that as you continue listening, you are able to more easily extract those actionable lessons and concepts from each episode, because they always come at approximately the same time or with the same questions. And that was the whole goal of creating the podcast, is to create not just to have wonderful conversations with great people, but to be very purposeful and get some real solid action takeaways from every single episode. And one of the most consistent through lines to what creates a successful career is relationships and building industry relationships with people. Because once you get to a certain point, talent only gets you so far, right? Mm-hmm. Once you get to a certain point, everybody's talented. Everyone can sing the song and dance the dance or act the piece. Everybody that's in that room. And they can all do it really well, right? So what is it that gets you the job? Oftentimes, it is the relationships you have built previously. It's also sometimes just all those factors that you can't control. Your height, your aura, the energy you give off, you know, giving a piece. It's crazy, but those are the types of things you need to focus on.
And keeping yourself calm, you know, because it's almost like you have to prepare yourself for the day, for the audition. You have to have your ritual. You have to have your things that you do that keeps you grounded, that keeps you formidable, that keeps you tough, that keeps you strong. And that, to a lot of successful entrepreneurs, is having a morning routine, is having strategic things that prime themselves that for the day. And so, Dane, please tell us about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And to that point, actually, you know, priming yourself, that's another thing that always comes up in the podcast. Is every single, I have a question that goes, I asked, what was your number one booked it moment? So usually this implies people's biggest show or gig, contract, whatever it is that they've ever booked, right? Something that's super substantial. And in almost every single story, everyone says, you know what? I went in there, it was totally calm. Mm-hmm. I almost felt like it wasn't work. I wasn't trying. Mm-hmm. And they were in a mind space. They were themselves. They weren't trying to be something else. They just got to be who they are, let that come through. And that's what got them the job, not them trying to put on an idea of who they thought they wanted them to be, right? which is crazy because you
state of flow.
Yeah, you could never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to try to find that, and again, it's one of those things that's easier to talk about and be like, this is what you need to do, but versus actually finding it. But it also is something that is practiced, right? And you get better the more you do it, just like a morning routine. The more you do it, it's those little, it's the incremental successes, the incremental advancements in whatever it is you're doing, compounding over time to create something that's pretty cool. And morning routines, mine has evolved over the years, I think, as many people do. And one of the things that has I found has helped me through the years of having a morning routine is that, yes, it's evolved, but it's also, how about this? In the beginning, I was very kind of strict with myself. I said, oh, I got to do this. And yes, there needs to be a level of things being strict and you want to do the same thing every single day. That's why it's a routine, right? Mm-hmm. But to also find where, you know, I don't have to let it ruin my day if I missed a couple of steps. At the end of the day, like I said, I've got a 4-year-old child. You know, it's not with 100% accuracy every single day that I'm able to do all the things because it's just, I've got someone else that needs me suddenly and that needs to be addressed, right? Yeah. But to not let that disturbance in my routine completely destroy my day. Find other times to see what I can do to get back on top of things. And the majority of the time, you know, I do all the things that I need to do really, but to not beat myself up. And that was a big aha moment, I guess you'd say, that came a couple of years ago, that just to, you know, do what you can do and let life happen and think about it, but if it doesn't all happen, it's okay as well. But some of the elements in my routine is I get up, it's easy enough. And then the first thing I do is I walk to the kitchen. I've got a water bottle, it's a 0.5-liter bottle, and I fill it up twice. I drink a liter of water before I do anything in the day. And then I go to the restroom, brush my teeth, splash some water in my face. And then that sets me up right there. That's those things never change. Mm-hmm. And then that I always do. Well, I say always, but like I said, 4-year-old child, I do about a 20-minute meditation. And this has fluctuated in my life. It's gone from very guided, very specific meditations to it just being me and just trying to be calm and have nothingness, right? And really at this point, I just meditate on whatever I'm feeling. I just let what I think is going to be most helpful for me come to me at that moment. And I do that. And then I always have, so I use Notion on my computer to organize my brain, my thoughts, my life, all these things. And I always have a to-do list that I've done the day before of all the tasks that I need to accomplish. And I guess that's kind of a morning routine you did before. But then I have a section in there that I say, okay, through the night, was there anything now that I've woken up? Are there any things that has popped up from last night that I'm like, all right, I want to accomplish this. It's new things that I got when I was sleeping or whatever. And then I write down what I'm grateful for the day and what I'm looking forward to. And then kicks me off for my day. And it's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that it's evolved with you as you grow because we're human beings. We're forever changing. And so the PDF won't work if we need to edit.
No, it's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And then you're just having grace with yourself. That I think that speaks a lot of volume. When you do fall off the wagon, expect it that's going to happen. But to have grace and understand that, you know, it's a process and you got to enjoy the process. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And I like the notion of the non-negotiables, hydrating first thing in the morning, making sure you're drinking water the minute you wake up because you are dehydrated from sleeping, you know, 6 to 8 hours. It's like a fasted state. You know, you need to replenish ASAP.
Yeah.
And that's non-negotiable. And, you know, that I tell my clients this and my listeners, they know this for sure. Like drinking water first thing in the morning is a priority. It's the easiest thing you can do. And then you said you have a nightly routine of writing down your goals. Yeah, that's a night routine that kind of sets you for success in the morning. Like setting the water on your nightstand before going to bed. So you don't have to go fishing for it in the morning. It's right there.
Yeah, I think my productivity skyrocketed as well when I really began consistently creating my to-do lists the day before or the night before or whenever it is that whenever I'm done working for the day, right? It's always done before I get to it, right? So I can wake up, And as soon as I'm ready, I can get right into things versus wasting 20 minutes mm-hmm. getting into a flow, right? I've just spent all this time hydrating myself, meditating, prepping my body to, in my mind, to be productive and to go take on the world and to put the brakes on that and have to go, okay, now what do I need to do for today is really doesn't help the whole flow of the day.
Yeah. The one thing, the book by Keller talks about willpower and how willpower is at its highest. It's at its peak during the morning time. And then during the day, we start losing it because of the decisions we have to make. Mm. Making decisions, especially early in the morning, loses your willpower. And that's why Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, they wear the same thing every day. They don't want to have to decide what color shirt am I wearing today or if I'm wearing black or blue jeans, right? So it's being able to kind of save your willpower for the important things in the morning. So if your to-do list is not on there, you're not thinking about what am I going to work on? What should I do? And deciding, right? That decision process is whittling away your willpower to focus on the important things. What you're good at, what the genius zone is. And so it's important to kind of honor that period in the morning of that strength that you get and take advantage of it.
Yeah, 100%. And not just willpower, I think creativity. So, and creativity comes in more ways than just, you know, something like what I do with performing arts, singing, acting, or dancing, right? But it comes in writing copy, writing emails.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways of creativity. Or if you are a programmer, right, you need a lot of creativity, even mm-hmm. though what you're doing is very mathematic, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of in life, but I also find that we are very limited on the amount of real, true creativity per day.
Right.
I think I can output really high levels of creativity for about 2 to 2.5 hours a day.
Yeah.
And that's it. Not much more. And then after that, I can do repetitive skills or I can do analog things all day long. I do that for hours, right? Yeah. Because you just kind of have to shut your mind off and go through the motions and do what needs to be done. But to be really creative, it's such a finite amount of time every single day. And you need to take advantage of that because yeah. that's where the biggest growths come.
Yeah. What's the time span for you? For me, I think it's from 10 a.m. to noon. I'm at my peak, it's my highest, my best. And I tend to hold coaching sessions during that time. And so I'm an early riser too. So it starts at the minute I wake up, you know, from that 4:30 until 12. Like I feel like my day's over after 12.
Yeah, agreed. I am a big fan of mornings personally. Mm-hmm. I would prefer to not have to be real creative late at night.
Yeah.
I can if I need to be, but even for instance, shows, while I may be very creative in performing, it's a different creation of, I'm not creating something from scratch. Like if I'm doing in a show, for instance, yes, I'm performing it. And yes, I'm being creative, but I've already rehearsed how to be in that space and how to be in that zone, right? Mm-hmm. But to create new content is a morning thing for me. And I wake up fairly early, usually around 6, maybe a little bit before, 5:45. And then I would say I'm most productive at about starting at about 8:00. And yeah. then I can rage for a couple hours. And then after that, you can kind of feel the creativity fatigue coming in. You say, well, this is just, you know, it's time to shelf what I just done for the day. And then we can pick it up tomorrow. But I can still develop and work on what I've created. I'm just not creating really high level new things after that.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought that on because it's pertinent to knowing how to work with your body instead of against it.
Yeah.
Right? Knowing when you are most productive, knowing when's the best time to wake up. And it's really fascinating to know that you're different. Your system's different. And so what works for somebody else, what worked for you, Dane, may not work for me and vice versa. And that's okay. And the minute we become aware of that, then we can start to actually measure it and start actually leveraging on that knowledge, you know?
Yeah, 100%. My wife, for instance, is her sweet spot of creativity time is later at night, like 9, 10, 11, 12, like that's her jam. Like that's when her brain comes alive and she can get things done.
Yeah.
You know, and that's her thing. She's great at it. That's sometimes, you know, we'll be hanging out and just spending time. She's like, okay, I got to do this. And like, she just gets this inspiration to go create or do whatever it might be. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't be bothered. it's just my mind's just not there because it's, I did my work that day. What I mean?
Yeah.
So it's fun. But, we're a good team and we work together on a lot of projects. So, yeah, it works really well.
And it works like that for everyone. I urge everyone to read The Power of When, the book, and actually find out when is your best time to be creative, because that's really monumental in the process. Is working with your body, not against it. And so I definitely urge people to do that. And I give my clients that quiz the minute they got on board with me, is identifying what's the best time for them to wake up in the morning, what's the best time for them to work, what's the best time to, do whatever in life, so that you could be more efficient in the process. So this was good. I'm glad you brought it up. We actually dive into it, digress into it. But
yeah,
I really want to give you the opportunity to let us know, Dane, how can we find you? How can we connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Come check out the podcast. If you are yourself aspiring to be a professional in the entertainment industry, if you're currently in the industry, if you know anybody that is part of the industry or wants to be part of the entertainment industry, send them over and refer them to You Booked It Podcast. It is literally on pretty much every single podcast platform you can think of. You can also connect with me on social media. Instagram is the best one. It's at You Booked It Podcast. And have a listen, because really, truly, they're 30-ish minute episodes that you can take away so much value from, that really you can apply to your career immediately. I've got some great guests on there, from multiple Tony Award winners to Emmy nominees, all over the place, all over the entertainment industry. It's really great.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, it will be available there as well. It's really a pleasure having you on the show today, Dane. And thank you for such a stimulating conversation around creativity and the entertainment world, kind of shedding some light into the things I myself wasn't aware of. So I thank you for your time today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Lynette, so much for having me on your show. It's been a pleasure.
My delight.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.